Welcome today to our interview series with outstanding professionals. I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and I'm conducting an exclusive interview with Dr. Simon Moser, CEO and top ICT authority. Simon, you just have an amazing background, so thank you for coming in and sharing so many of your deep experiences with our audience.
Thank you, Stephen. It is my pleasure and honor to be your interview partner today.
Now, Simon, you know, you've done so much, and this is a question I ask, and can you describe your journey from maybe a really early age to your current role and sort of the major milestones and valuable lessons that continue to shape your vision, goals, and execution style today?
Yes, I'm glad to have the chance to talk about this. Well, let's begin at the age of four. And at that time, the only ICT device available at our home was a pulse tone phone. So you see, pretty old age and not at all digital native. And you don't have to be afraid. I will not go into detail how this infrastructure has evolved into the variety of devices populating our current home. Actually, I'm not a real techno and gadgets aficionado. Instead, my interests already as a child was rather towards science and math, and even in a more theoretical, maybe you can call it philosophical touch. And at the same time, I'm very much into nature and sports, which were my favorite leisure time activities already as a child. Then I did some drawing, painting, which was another focus. My musical talent, in quotes, however, is only listening and enjoying, but also nature. Just interest. Well, the age of four, that was very much not ICT driven at the grade of four. On the other hand, at the age of 10, I was the proud owner of a pocket calculator and was the only one in the class with a pocket calculator. It was a birthday present from my father, who was an accountant. Ironically, I did not use this calculator a lot. First, because at that time we were not allowed to use it most of the time at school. And second, I was okay with doing mental arithmetic, so I didn't really need it. My interest, however, and still, was more in getting formulas over applying formulas with concrete values. So my strive is towards precision in thinking, and in the end, the fascinating things is that words may be ambiguous or stretchable, with stretchable meaning, and it's just very important to transform them into and sharpening them into well-defined terms. And even as a child, I was very much fascinated by doing this in math. Well, still some grades later, I used to own an HP 11C. Maybe other persons with more or less the same age of myself, they know this Hewlett-Packard small programmable device. It was the first one I owned, and it was very much fun programming small games without any fancy user interface. Of course, it was not possible then, but that was my another thing I like to do, programming small games like Mastermind and something like this. And yet another couple of years later, in 1983, I started my studies in computer science in Switzerland. And this was the very year when computer science became even available as a major study at my university, which is the University of Bern, the capital of Switzerland. There I did learn my share of programming languages, most notably C and C++. And programming is the real math, formulas put to life. So from the very much non-ICT life as a child, I could observe this real math coming into life as computers, a little bit a dream of my childhood becoming true. And nowadays, the real-life challenges are still mostly to understand the users and their needs, to understand concepts and words, and to be able to produce the needed ICT system in time and on budget with the impeccable quality that's needed. And the pure programming part is, in my professional work, has gone quite a bit into the background. And what worries me still today is the amount of non-professionalism, unfortunately, that still can be observed in practice. Money and time is wasted on not needed and in the end not really used ICT. And this is kind of my core vision and belief. We need ICT professionals that do not earn their money by selling ICT, but by selling high qualified and end user benefit oriented consulting before ICT is even bought or produced. And of course, afterwards, we also need highly qualified ICT producers. But this architect's part of specifying and evaluating possible solutions for the benefit of the customer and not being independent of the ICT seller and its benefit is kind of one of my core goals and my personal, as well as our company's execution style and belief.
You know, that's a remarkable history, and I can see the evolution of your talent. Now, in terms of your history, what is your history and role, plus the value proposition of the Swiss Informatics Society?
The Swiss Informatics Society exists in its form since 1981, as far as I know, 1984, I'm not quite sure, and I joined it in 1988. Just as a student at that time, I was interested in joining this community to know what other people are doing in the area. And in 1997, I founded the special interest group, the C group, which was actually an interest group for exactly this architecture role, involving requirements engineering, most importantly also cost estimation techniques, and evaluation, contracting, project management skills that we were sharing among this group. It has now transformed into the Swiss Informatics Society ICTScope.ch group. We changed our name for certain reasons. And our current most important goal right now is to set up a top-level certification for exactly this role, but and also other roles in ICT, within Swiss Informatics Society. And I call it top level certification because it can include in existing certificates such as the IPMA, PMP, CBAP, I hope you know all these acronyms, and others to enrich them with the ICT specific skills. Yeah.
Again, just a great body of work that you've done and what the Swiss Informatics Society is also doing. What are your goals for the society?
We think currently this society is still, with respect to the importance of IT for this entire society, for our country, for the world even, has still not enough visibility compared to other professional societies in Switzerland, most notably the Farmers Society, for instance, very traditional ones, the Medicine Doctors Society. They are really visible. They are active and very politically visible. And our goal would really be to transform it from this rather small but powerful society into a leading entity for the continuous professional development of ICT with recognition. And you may know in Switzerland, in addition to the 700 young academic ICT professionals, we have another 2,000 finishing their vocational basic education. It's vocational education system in Switzerland that is very important also. But we want the academic part to become again more attractive by assuring for them the high market value through the certification, and especially also to make these computer science and information system studies become more attractive compared to studying law, medicine, business, which kind of assures a very recognized professional profile, which is unfortunately not so true for the informaticians right now.
And what are your goals for Solution Box X for 2016 and 17?
So that's our company. Yeah, currently we are mostly concerned with looking for young talents then for joining the team and to become experienced consultants, as we three are, the three owners actually. Solution Box has developed, we believe, a quite unique set of products that have the potential to solve some root causes of ICT quality issues that are known. So on the one hand, we have the so-called 12 Documents product. It's called just 12 Documents because it's focused on documenting ICT and business processes using 12 important documents and not more. So it's a reduced to the max principle documentation style, which also is automatically validated in this tool, certain consistency rules. For instance, it's not possible to have an ICT component that doesn't have a business process or rule or anything described on the business side that it implements. Cannot just be an ICT solution isolated there without any business purpose and documented business purpose. Well, and we think that this product can really replace the situations that are often observed in the practice where you have hundreds of documents around on file shares, but in the end, none of them is complete, consistent, or correct. So instead, we think focus on the 12 very important ones and make them consistent. On the second side, on the other side, the second important products, we feel it's important that young people learn them also to use, is the system meter measurement and estimation technique, which is integrated into 12 documents. So it measures document complexity or model complexity documented in one of the 12 documents, an early available document in the course of a project, and it helps forecast the effort, cost and schedule to produce the other 12 documents, essentially also the code. Well, we are looking for young talents. That's our goals.
So, you're playing such a valuable role, and you have this very interesting and valuable product that you developed. Let's sort of broaden the question now. Can you describe your role and what you hope to achieve with this company?
My role in Solution Box is I'm the co-founder, CEO, and one of the principal consultants. And well, this answer is a bit short. So we hope to achieve really to find at least two young ICT professionals that want to join us and continue the way we practice this business IT architecture and management style. It is actually not easy to find those young ICT professionals, which I'm not yet sure why it's so difficult to find ones that are interested in doing this consulting job. But we'll see.
So can you describe then some of the projects you're working on, the problem that you were trying to solve, and then your solution?
Currently, I'm working for a telecommunications company on the one very important project. It's even a multi-release program, where we are streamlining the ICT-supported billing and collection processes. And there, lots of challenges are always appearing. One which is popping up recently is, for instance, that on these telecommunications companies' invoices, new forms of online shopped items appear. People, they shop in Google Play and have the ability with different means to put it on this invoice. And then in the end, these people also have, let's say, the nicely difficulties to pay. And we must be very careful now that the basic telco subscriptions, which are on the same invoices, are not put in danger by such add-on bill items that are causing the difficulties for the customers to pay. So we are devising new processes, first conceptually and then also built into ICT to overcome these dangers and not to put the telco service in danger, the payment of the telco service. And there I have quite for a long while already the lead business analyst and project program manager role. That's one of the major projects I am engaged in. And the problems we are having there in this area, ICT-wise, is more that each of the telco products, specific products, tendentially in this company developed its own ICT solution that has to interface with all the other infrastructure around. And it seems very difficult to enforce their strict architectural compliance, not to build specific solutions for every different thing. And this makes end-to-end business objectives very difficult to achieve because each ICT task and change has an enormous amount of cost, time, and coordination effort to be involved. It's not really good. And the second very important project is an archiving project I am conducting for a utilities company. And again, there it's not exactly the technical issues that are facing the really huge challenges, but it's the organizational and more business side difficulties in getting all these requirements really there. We really are facing there the problem that there are no standards in how to elicit and document these processes that everybody can understand and then set up based on these a good ICT supported solution. So it's just very much buzzwording going on there, unfortunately. And the third important project I am leading is for the Swiss Informatics Society, the Continuous Professional Development Project, which is at the current stage also largely an organizational project. I'm getting partners, I'm getting organized within Swiss Informatics and other associations to get the people together to set this really up and get it going. But it looks really promising.
You know, Simon, you're an international authority and you've developed a considerable amount of expertise, in fact, very elite expertise. And for that reason, I'm asking you this question. You know, what are some of your major challenges that you see faced by business and then your proposed solutions?
The first challenge, I think, is that we should be are not focused on the results in our project, on results that everybody understands and adheres to a standard. Much too much waste is produced at all levels of, from overview documents to detailed documents and on both sides, business and technical. And there, I think we need an accepted by the professional society, accepted and supported standards on how to document. That would be my proposed solution, because I don't think it can be just a single company producing any de facto standard that is widely accepted. It's too diverse. The second most important challenge, I think, it's project management competencies that are missing, largely observed, and they're existing project management frameworks would help already, but they are not enforced, unfortunately. So it's more an enforcement problem there. And third, effort and schedule estimation competencies, which is very specific there and largely not developed in practice. And then we also, as a fourth challenge, it is very difficult to find ICT professionals that have the ability to efficiently take over a task from a predecessor. So whenever something is started and a personal change, a change in person happens, which can always happen, it has the tendency to put at risk everything for this work stream that this person has been assigned, and in the end put at risk the entire schedule of a project. It's too much dependent of a single ICT professional. And again, there the standardization of the professional society would help much, which would be a proposed solution. And last but not least, in modern agile environments, we have quite a lot of difficulties to control the cost and schedule and deliverables, because it's what can happen is that developers, they just add story points in the end, effort estimation, even though the requirements are unchanged, and they are just put on the argument that it's new technical issues to cover that were not to be foreseen. And when this happens, it's very important right up front that you talk this estimation and cost control process over with your agile team before they start any development, and that this is not going to happen when a requirement is remaining unchanged, that the efforts can explode. This is very important there. Well, yeah, that's it.
You know, Simon, we talked about your global expertise and your amazing success history. Now we're going to sort of broaden the interview. And can you talk about some of your other interests?
Yeah, I have actually quite a few there. Still, I'm very, very glad to be in nature as a contrast to my work at a computer with other people in offices. So I really like to go out. And one of the challenges I have created myself is this summer in August, I will attend to a very challenging mountain bike marathon in the Swiss Alps in the Valais with my 25-year-old son. He actually kind of talked me into this, but it's okay. And I look very much forward to this. I'm also motivated for the trainings and going out. It will be around 10 hours of quite heavy stuff waiting for the two of us there. But somehow I like these things, challenging things that are not usual, maybe. And on the other hand, I'm also more and more interested in society's processes, politics. But it's a bit difficult for me to join maybe a political party, because I'm not feeling really happy with these guys. And so what I think we have fundamental problems mostly in our systems in the area of banks, financing, payment, money creation, money procedures that are currently quite wrong set up for the modern techniques that we have, but all the system is still based on ancient modes of money creation, money printing and all this, and money is just not the same thing nowadays. And that's one very, very important thing that I think we need to change. However, the solution, of course, I don't have. it's quite subtle, but I think the state has to take over more responsibility in the payment industry, finances industry, and the banks should probably just be left to more risk-oriented stuff, and not the basic infrastructure of an economy. Of the payment should be more in the hand of the state. That's one thing, and I think we also have to convert representative democracies more into real democracies, direct democracies, where every human has the same voice, because I think the reasons for having representatives, like poor education of a majority of citizens, travel time to those conventions and meetings, are also from long ago, and they are not really effective anymore. So we could have much more direct democracy, which is important, I think, for taking out also all the hype in elections and all this going on that you people are getting a bit annoyed in watching, although it's a big theater. But yeah, that's two interests, the nature and maybe politics.
Simon, you know, you've traveled extensively. You've done a lot of work. You're well known in the field. You've made significant contributions. So with all of that traveling, speaking, and work, you must have some interesting stories to share. Maybe something amusing or amazing, unexpected. Can you tell us about anything that's happened in your life like that?
There are a few anecdotal things, maybe. For instance, once, it was quite a while ago, we had to add a J2EE client application or some client applications to a large COBOL-written IBM mainframe government application that existed for a long time. At that time, Java J2EE was very modern, very new, and one task was to have to write the Java interface wrapper classes in order to access the various COBOL and DB access services. And our cool new Java programmers, they came up with a template for these wrapper classes, but they kind of coded each wrapper, concrete wrapper class, kind of by hand. And of course, in the course of the project, many changes had to be made on these interfaces and then the wrappers again. And the Java developers eventually were sometimes behind in their work progress, behind the COBOL side lead developer, which was a 55-year-old, but very, very serious, very, very, very good, experienced programmer. And then the testing often got a bit delayed because of them. So, and one morning we found that all Java wrapper classes were newly created, more or less same time stamp, and incorporated all the latest changes. Miracle. And what happened is that this COBOL programmer had written a COBOL program that generates the Java classes out of the COBOL copybooks. So, well, just quintessence of the anecdote. Maybe age doesn't matter and being young and cool doesn't matter. So you can still be a very good ICT professional independent of age. And sometimes this is currently a bit the hype, just to hire young people for coding, and the old ones have sometimes troubles. That's one of the stories. And another one is, in 2004, I was called in a mandate to contribute to replacing a large and complex legacy system. It had some 80 or even more interfaces, complicated interfaces with other applications. And this project to replace this legacy system was ongoing at that time already for 2 years. And in the course of this project, all the team members there, or some of the core team members, they began doing bets on how long this old system would still run, because it was a very core system there in that organization. And we had a master plan that said it should be phased out end of 2006, so within 2 or 3 years, the time of the project. Then some of us, of the team, they betted on 2006, it will be phased out. Some then on 2007, because then, yeah, it could be difficult still. And two guys of this team, they betted on 2010, this system will still run, and look at a real party if the system is really still running. And maybe you're not surprised when I tell you, even now, today, 2016, this system is still running. This system is still in place. So we couldn't get rid of it. It was, for certain parts, just too difficult. Yeah, that's maybe also an indication of documentation issues, all this. Then maybe a last short story, not really very interesting. We were working in India, in Pune, had meetings going on, and suddenly an implementation expert from Switzerland for re-engineering of some system, he had to give information there, and suddenly he was very pale, said a few excuses, retired into his single office, and was very silent, and didn't say anymore, didn't respond to the questions anymore. But then in the evening, joked a little bit and muttered around, and then would say, I'm a bit weak, I'm a bit weak. And next day, same behavior. At some times we just lost our patience, and we insisted on explanation. And finally, he admitted that he suffered from a very, very severe diarrhea. And since that day, just the term "a slight weakness" has a special meaning to those who know the story. Just a slight weakness. It was very, very funny, this one.
You know, Simon, that's a really interesting, humorous story. And then your two others about systems that survive because they're so well done, and also this idea of a COBOL programmer sort of outperforming the young ones. So, and quite remarkable what he did. I mean, I can admire the kind of competency required. So I've been in this field for, I guess 50 years, right? So,
No. I did my study in 1983 and 83. So that's not 50 years.
I started playing with computing when I was in the 1960s. So I've been around a long time.
Oh, okay. not me. Yeah, a little bit younger.
Well, Simon, I know your schedule is demanding, and you're a global authority, and you've taken the time to share your experiences with us. And I know our audience will enjoy what you've shared with them. So thank you for coming in today.
Dear audience, dear Stephen, it was a pleasure.
I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and this concludes our exclusive interview with Dr. Simon Moser, CEO and top ICT World Ranked Authority.